Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to thank our regulars for joining us every week as we are here 6 p.m. every week, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Thanks for joining us, and our new listeners, thanks again. Again, this is just a show with racers talking about racing, and that's what we do. And, of course, tonight, hosting the one, the only, Mr. J.J. Nunn.
Good evening, everybody.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it.
Phew!
It was close.
That's good. Hey.
It was close.
I'm glad you made it.
Yeah. Roads out there are nasty.
Man, I got a beef with that. The roads. All the roads. There's no road without construction. Tell me what road doesn't have construction.
95 North is ridiculous. Going into the spaghetti bowl, avoid it at all costs.
Just stay home. This is a national emergency. Just stay home.
It's down the two lanes.
No kidding.
And when I went through this afternoon, there was a wreck in the left lane. Okay? One lane going through. It sucked. It really, really sucked.
Oh, it does suck.
Yeah.
Okay, where are you
going? What are you
going to
do?
Hey, exactly.
What are you going to do? They're paying me to sit in my truck.
Oh, you get paid by the hour. Oh,
that's
good if he gets paid by the hour. Hey, speaking of Gary, the man always on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
How's your hourly pay?
Great. Great.
You get paid by the job.
That's right.
You got to get there, get it done.
Like somebody else I know.
Exactly. Sheesh.
So sometimes that's a good thing.
That's true.
But 70% of the time, it's a bad thing.
Right. Exactly. Oh, man. So what's your new mission, man? What's happening? No wheels on the front of the car?
Nope.
decided to do a reverse skid plate?
Yes.
Okay.
Now we're putting all new bushings up front.
Oh,
everything. Every bushing in that car is being replaced. We found one that was, like, not even a bushing. So if we're going to do one, we might as well do
them all. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
Well, you know how it goes.
Now that we're not racing back-to-back, we got a week in the middle.
Not only back-to-back, but twins on each one of those nights. Oh, man. So that's your mission, fixing cars, doing bushings and all that. Of course, talking about LVMS out here at our local track. And speaking of local track.
And speaking of that, before we go any further, I got to thank Fred Kaiser Jr. and his son Justin Jason has, I get them confused, but he's got one of each, Justin and Jason. So, but he has really stepped up and helped me with my program. So I got to thank Fred Kaiser for that.
Well, you know what? And Fred's been out there not only helping you, he hops around. I don't know how many bombers or superstocks he hasn't kind of had his.
Yeah. Saturday, even as you know, we rained. I had to get a bat and beat him off the car. You know, he was like, man, I got to do something. So we shoot him away to another car.
So yeah, because he waits till you leave, and then he changes everything on your front end of your car.
He
was asking us, should we tell Gary we just changed a whole bunch of crap on his car? You just ran to the bathroom, I think.
But he means well, and he's
he's
damn good at what he does, and I got to thank him for that.
Exactly.
So.
Well, thanks,
yeah,
Fred.
He knows his shit.
Yes.
He's a good bull ring pit whore.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Or I should clarify that, a wrench whore. He loves wrenching, man.
Yes.
He knows his shit.
And he whores himself.
That's right.
Nobody asks him. He goes at it.
Yeah.
Watch out. If you leave your pit for a second, it might be rebuilt by the time you come back, and you won't know who did
it. He's a hell of a nice guy. He knows his stuff. You know, he tries to help everybody, and you know, he's an all-around great guy.
Yeah.
He's a wrench whore.
Hey, whatever keeps the cars out there and keeps them
yep.
fast.
And that's exactly what he says. All I'm doing is trying to help the program of whichever class.
Right. And so. That's something that he's always done, is not just isolated to one class.
No.
He helps as many people.
Yeah.
He's helped input on us on and off in the past and
yeah.
in the present. So
he's definitely a good guy to have running through your pits.
Well, speaking of good guys, let's get
that's
to,
right. let's get to
our,
it.
Our in-studio guest, Matt Frady Jr., am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's right.
For another well-known name, I guess, at LVMS for a long time. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Just finished cool. working on the car not too long ago and getting ready for the 14th.
Cool. Appreciate you being here. And if you don't know who Matt Frady Jr. is, he's a super late model driver here at LVMS. You're going for the championship points this year, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we're trying. We're working out some bugs still on this new car. Having some part failures every now and again, so still trying to work through them and getting her going.
Well, you know, that's one thing. First of all, beautiful car, by the way.
Thank you.
Know,
number, black number
40.
And red number 40
yep.
super late.
Look
yep.
for
the sharp looking car.
If you ever go out to the track, absolutely beautiful. Yeah, sharp looking car. And as we all know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into these things, not just at the track, but at home. So.
Oh, yeah. a lot of that.
But
how long has this car been in the process you've been building? We'll jump into this car and then
yeah, we'll rewind
where
a little
you are,
bit.
Rewind.
Sure.
This actual current car, probably in the process of about 6 years. Picked it up as a bare frame, and slowly but surely, actually just started putting parts on and taking off the old car and putting them on here and actually making it into a complete car. So it's been a long and tiresome process.
Oh,
6
yeah.
years, that's...
Yeah, a few breaks in between for
right.
long periods.
Now, did you race anything in between that time or just basically a hiatus from the track?
Yeah, it was more just a hiatus and family time and stuff like that. So.
Well, once you get that family time, it's hard to go back to the track. I mean, you know, racing
yeah.
a family thing, but it takes a lot of hard work to go out to that track. And then, let me tell you, so you're working with a chassis that's a little over 6 years old?
A little bit more. I believe it's a 96
okay.
Port City chassis.
Okay.
So it's got some updates on it. But
well, that's good. Yeah. As long as they have updates, because, you know, look at Gafferini. He's won how many races with an old chassis, you know, and that's one of his best ones that
yeah.
He races out there. So your car, you're doing a lot of your own work.
Yep, yeah, it's a real small team. It's just me and my grandfather, and then got my family, of course, my mom and my dad that help with it every now and again. They're a big help in the pits. You know, I got my mom, my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather, and then my grandmother supports us, so.
Well, so you spent time
real...
with the family at home, and now you're spending time with the family at the track.
Yep, yep.
What could be better, right? Hey, so on that car, when it was starting to get closer and closer to being done, and you see it start seeing some race schedules come out. I mean, were you starting to get excited, or what was the family?
Yeah, it was
like,
kind of like a throwback to back when I had my old car going. Everybody was getting real excited for it. And there was a plus side, too. My son was actually kind of helping with wrenches and screwdrivers and just poking at the car. And kind of another excitement to know that he's going to be out there watching and having fun, so.
Yeah, give him something to, somebody to root for.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
But so when did you decide, like, at what point was the car when you decided, hey, I think I'm gonna give this a shot to come back to the track?
I think it was probably this last open comp. We were pretty close.
Okay.
We had a few minor things to do. And me and my grandfather actually just kind of sat down and decided let's go for it. Throw everything together and get her going and run late models.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So the open comp obviously are both late model open comp and also a super late model open comp, and you raced it as a late model in the open
yeah.
comp.
Yeah.
How'd you guys do?
We were, again, with the, you know, being first time ever that car had been on the track, we had a few electrical issues
okay.
that were biting us, and then bottoming out issues, and so we missed on the setup, and the electrical issues just kept coming back at us, and we had a couple carburetor issues.
Well, those first time on the track rows, we've all been there. First get the car put together, like, okay, the thing we think least is going to happen happens.
Yep.
And the things we thought was going to be a problem wasn't, you know.
Fix one, another one comes up.
Exactly. So you ran as a late model. Did you practice before that at all, or did you have one or two practices?
We had a couple practice sessions going with that car. It was handling all right. Didn't push it the first couple times just because making sure everything was going to stay on.
Right.
And just start slowly picking up since that was the first time that car has ever seen the track.
Now, without giving away too many secrets, I guess you took a lot of your old things off your old car and put it to the new one. Did you try, are you running a conventional style setup, or did you go completely different? Like, a lot of these guys are running bump stops and things nowadays, or even like a tie down.
Not really. Setup. We're doing more of the conventional style stuff. Just sticking that well, you know, kind of what we know,
right.
And learning a little bit more of what's changed. Because from that 7-8 years that we were out of it, everything has changed completely. I mean, it's all shocks and, you know.
Welcome to the crowd.
Right. Well, no, same thing with you guys. Like, these guys in the Bombers took a break for a while, went dirt track racing, came back, and surprise, things are different.
Cars
are faster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're still trying to pick it up and learn everything again. Just got to learn everything that's all changed, trying to be the new guy around and learn everything all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking of shocks, I mean, can't believe how much more they're putting into the shocks. Like the shocks we used to run in the modified, we'd spend $100 or so and then get it tuned at, you know, STR or someone like that. Now they're spending $300 plus a shock and then still having them tuned, and you're talking $500 a shot per shock, you know, a couple grand in just shocks, let alone anything else. Yeah, I mean, that's something else, and I'm sure that's the same thing in the super late models.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one.
Now, did you decide to run originally just open comp races, like as a late model, or have a sewer anywhere like that, or did you decide, hey, I'm going to run super late models after this open comp?
We kind of threw traveling up in the air a little bit. We still have some plans of maybe hitting a couple other tracks nearby. We were kind of on the mindset of just running that first race as a late model, just to see what would happen,
sure,
how everything goes, and then we kind of figured we were going to go to the super lates. So we're just doing the super lates now. We're going to see if we're going to – we're also throwing up in the air about putting my older car back together.
Oh, wow.
And actually running that as a late model itself, and that way we'll have a late model and a super late.
Nice.
So see what how it goes.
Hey, I'm all for having as many cars as you can get. That's my theory.
Yeah, and that's coming from a race car hoarder.
Exactly. Hey, build it. You got a chassis in there, build it, man. Just throw it in your backyard. Oh, man. If I had a lot like pick apart, I'd be full of old chassis.
Well, you've got to pick apart the race cars.
I wish I could have one of everything. No, that's pretty cool. Hey, Jay, if somebody wants to call into the show and ask Matt a question.
Sure, give us a call, 702-685-8116. That's 702-685-8116. We got Matt Frady Jr. with us, driver number 40 super late model out at the Bullring.
If you have a beef with him, give us a call. Hey, on that note, you know, please give us a call at, you know, ask Matt a question. Let's do a little rewind here. I guess tell us a little bit about your start into racing or your family's start into racing.
I actually started, I mean, I was pretty much born into racing. My grandfather was always wrenching and building cars way back in the day when the grandstands were actually on the other side.
Back in the Las Vegas Speedrome days.
Yep.
When that was called that.
Long time ago. And then after that, we actually started helping out some good friends of ours, Walt Weekly and PC Weekly, wrenching on their cars almost every day. And towards the end of Walt Weekly's career is actually when I actually got my first car when I was about 15, and just jumped straight into late models and started going
from
there.
Are you talking just here locally in Vegas?
Just
so
locally.
Back in the Las Vegas Speedrome back in the day, like you said, the stands are on the opposite side where the sun came up right in your face.
Yep.
They had the drag strip kind of right on the back stretch, I guess where the stands are now, kind of in that area, was the drag strip.
Kind of where that go-kart track is?
Yeah, where the go-kart track is, was the drag strip back then. A lot of familiar names back then. I think Dick Cobb and all them guys were racing back then. Of course, Mark Allison, that's back in those days where I first seen, like, Mark Allison's cars. You know, the one thing that stood out with his car was the number 5. It was all white. Nothing else on it. He may have had Can-Am on there back in the day, but what was some of your sponsors back then, and how did that carry over into your racing?
Back then, we were sponsored by Larry's Hideaway, which was actually a bar right up the way from where my grandparents live, and we've known the owners of that place for years.
Is that still there?
They actually shut down, then turned it into a different place.
Okay.
Can't remember the name of the place now.
I believe they just reopened it.
Yeah, they reopened it, but it's under a different name.
Wow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because that's been there forever. I remember Larry's Hideaway.
And I owned another place, too, but we won't discuss that place.
Sorry, Larry, something there from there.
It's a family show. We can't discuss the other place.
Did we get comp there if we go after this show? No.
Matt, you mentioned your grandfather. His name?
My grandfather's name is Ron Leach. He's been pretty much everything and taught me most of everything that I've known throughout my entire life, and I have to give a big thanks to him for everything about racing.
Did he race at one time?
No, he's never raced. He's always just been the wrench, doing it, behind the scene, everything else. So
he's the brains.
He's the one that does everything for me and helps me out big time with it.
Now, back then, though, your dad was an actual racer. He raced the...
Nope. No, my dad's never raced. He's always been itching and trying to sneak into my car.
Yeah, because back then, the Le Mans were actually sportsmen's, believe. That's what
they
were called back then.
Sportsmen's and outlaws.
They had outlaws, and they had the hobby stocks and street stocks, whatever, back then. So the hobby stocks used to have A mains and B mains. They used to have, just as many in the B main as they did the A mains. I remember those days.
So what, your grandfather didn't race, your father didn't race.
Nope.
And what made you decide?
We're going to make our kid race here.
What made you decide this is going to happen? Because we've heard many, many stories where grandpa raced.
Right.
And then
dad raced,
and then son raced, and watching their dad sneaking into the pits underage and all that, carrying tires for dad and grandpa. What I mean, did your grandfather wrench for other teams out there, or your father work with other teams at all? Or
no, my grandfather, I can remember when I was younger, I was about 4 or 5. My grandfather was already in the process of building, I believe back then they were called the Outlaws or whatever it was for the late models for that time period back in the day. I was kind of just born into it. And so I've always been messing around working on them. And then finally one day we just got my grandparents actually bought me my first car and kind of just. So here you go. Have fun. Hopefully, see what happens. Hopefully, you're not scared of it.
That's Gary's dream. Somebody buy a car and say, here, have fun.
Yeah, I just jumped in and wanted to go faster.
And what was the first car? Was that the late model that you started with? Or
yeah, it was actually a home-built chassis. Eric Martin actually built the chassis 30 or 35 years ago now. And we actually bought it from a friend of his and ran it how it was. And then I think during the off season, right after we bought it, we ended up tearing body off, putting a new motor in, just changing a whole bunch of stuff, and on we went.
And you still have this car?
Yep. Yeah, it's sitting as a bare chassis in the backyard right now. But its plans are that we want to try putting it back together.
Okay, this chassis is older than you. You're 27.
Right? 27,
exactly. That's funny.
She did me good, though, when we had her out there. We were finishing up front quite a bit. 'Cause Actually had Doug Hamm actually help me out with the setup on that car.
Oh, the Hound Dog.
Oh, yeah. And got her to rotate and turn, and she was off.
Now, what year was that you first got into that car out there at the Bullring?
I think it's somewhere, I want to say, between maybe 2003 or 2004 is when I actually started.
Okay.
And we went for about maybe 5 years, I want to say.
2008.
Yep, somewhere in there, 2008, 2009. And then kind of just took a break. And
now, during that time, they were, and I'm not good with time frames and all that, but I believe they were running both Outlaw stocks at the time, weren't they? They changed the late models, and they went to Outlaw stocks.
Yeah, that's
the
when they were actually running late models and super lates.
Okay.
Together.
And then,
at
first it was late models.
Separate.
Yeah, separately. Right. And then they ended up actually, towards the end, around 2008, 2009, is where they actually joined them together.
Because when the Outlaw stock... Oh,
and I believe that joined together was only for a year or two.
Right, yeah. There was
just
for a very short time period, and... that's when they ended up actually getting rid of the late models and just having
just
super late.
Yeah, because when the Outlaw stocks first came out, I believe it was kind of a strange division. It was almost like the super stocks today back then, because they started allowing like a hobby stock with a little more. You're allowed slab bodies, you know. You start seeing some cars come out there. They look almost like modified, but they're not. And then a little bit of mix of everything. Then the guys started coming out with the late model bodies and all that, and they started looking like a real nice, you know, car. So, and then I thought that class actually started to build up pretty decent, and I think the super late models actually started to drop off.
Right. Yeah, we had a real decent car count almost every single weekend in the late models.
I did some graphics for a couple cars. Like, I don't know if like Mark Schottmuller used to race out there. I did some graphics on his car back in those days, and.
Wasn't there a problem with the tires? And the open motor and closed motor.
Well, I know the difference. Yeah, I think there was some differences. Obviously, when they combined the super.
Was there an
models.
Issue then with that, or am I off date here?
What we did at that time, you had to run 10-inch rims on the 970 tires that the late models ran.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it looked kind of weird when you first looked at the tires for a second there. They did all right. The 970s were actually a really good tire. They hung in pretty long. They actually got better the longer you ran them for a little bit.
And the now 970s are a treaded, harder compound tire, and they're an 8-inch tire.
Right.
So you're trying to stretch them on a 10-inch rim. And then, but the Supers, were they allowed to run their 10-inch, their 2040s or whatever, or did they have to do the same
thing? No, I think everybody had to run the 970s once they conjoined the things, try to make it, you know, somewhat even.
No wonder the Super guys were just like, screw it.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So what was your best year? You 2003 to 2008, you put any wins under your belt, run for the championship, what was your best finish year?
I think the best year that we actually had was actually probably the third year, so probably around 2005, maybe 2006. We actually won two heat races and had quite a few top fives during that year. That was right about the time when Doug Hamm actually came around and put the setup in the car. And the car was really backwards for some reason. It ran great during the day, and then nighttime comes around. And the car would act completely different.
Old. It was tired. It might have been half.
And we would try to do adjustments and everything to keep up with the track, and it didn't like it, anything it did. But daytime rolls around, and you would think they're in 110-degree weather. The track was hot. It wouldn't like it, but she loved it. So.
Interesting. So you guys kind of figured that problem out with Doug coming in. I know. I think at the time, was Doug running... just a modified?
No, actually back then Doug was actually still running late models.
Late models, okay.
Right.
Yeah, he's been a name out there. That's good. He was able to hook up with someone like that to help you out.
Yeah, we've known Doug for quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, look at him today. He's still up front in some of the most competitive divisions like the Lucas Oil Modifieds. And did I see his name on a late model out here too? No. recently? Super late? No. Maybe I was dreaming. But, no, cool. So was he able to kind of get the car handling at night like you wanted, obviously? And
yeah, when he came in and put that setup in, it did help the car a little bit. We were fighting. I remember it was always wanting to be real loose coming off the corner. And it was something that would just snap around all of a sudden, and he actually got it to be real snug coming off, and was able to get under a lot of people coming out of, you know, turn two and turn four, and he helped solve a lot of our problems.
That's cool. So, you know, some of that, you know, your experiences just in a late model itself, have you ever jumped into any other division cars, just even if it wasn't for a full season, just to get seat time or learn what it feels like in different cars?
Yeah, actually my first ever race that I ever did was actually one race in I want to say they were street stocks out at Pahrump.
Oh, wow.
raced one car.
That's cool.
That actually me and PC and Chris Birdsong, we built the entire car in 18 hours.
No kidding.
Just trying to get ready to go out.
So you were one of them.
Yeah, actually, I was probably the guinea pig. So I was
the
first one that
raced
car.
And you pitted up on track entrance up against by Petey where
white
he
car.
Had the truck.
Yeah, we had a white car with it. We spray-painted it with green numbers.
Yes. Jay, yes, I remember that.
Yep, that was a long time ago.
I remember that. That was on a Harvest Fest you came out for, two-night race.
Yeah, we were trying to hurry up and get it done.
I remember you nut jobs. You were nut jobs with Birdsong and Weekly. You were one of the three.
Yep.
He's the third.
I was
one
of the three.
Silent three. No, he's not silent anymore.
Crap. Oh, yeah, I remember that. We were in the pits when you towed that thing in. We were like, what the hell is that? They bring a super late model to run in the bomber? We go look at the number on the sheet, and it's like, hey, man, that's a bomber. What's with all that fiberglass all over it?
Hey, we had to get her done.
You hung a late model? Was that your old late model nose on there or something? You had fiberglass on the front of that thing?
I actually do think that was the Lumina body that we put off the late model.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Time.
Yeah, Birdie and PC. And
Then I've actually jumped into a Thunder Roadster a couple times for practice.
Oh, cool.
Had some fun doing that. That was actually real different, actually being able to see the front tires for once.
Right?
That was kind of trippy the first time we did it. So.
And Pahrump always comes back to haunt somebody, right? One way or the other.
I'm sorry. I vividly remember that. That weekend. I vividly remember that. Freaking Birdsong. I knew him and Weekly were running around together, but you were the third one. We didn't know who the hell the third one
was. Man. Skeletons come out. They come out of the closet. That's funny. How'd you guys do that?
I only ran the heat race, and I actually started dead last because we had some kind of problem. So we didn't get any of that qualifying or anything in. And so I started dead last and actually came up and finished second.
Oh, that ain't bad at all.
So it was actually pretty fun.
Definitely different on the dirt. I know these guys went playing in the dirt for a while.
Oh,
just
a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you don't dirt track it when you come back to the asphalt, right?
Yeah, don't want that.
It's a lot easier to drive that super late now, that one experience on dirt.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it helps out big time now.
Oh, man. It's funny because now a lot of the street stocks probably look like that because a lot of them put regular noses and, you know,
they're all fiberglass
like
noses now
so
they put on them.
That's funny.
Down there, lightweight stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. They have no weight rule in it and no scales down there, so they gut the hell out of them. But not as a bomber.
Yeah. They're the crap JJ remembers. Well, they probably was like, where should we register? And, you know, Chad down there probably, I don't know, throw it in as a bomber. So they didn't have hobby stocks back then, did they?
No, they didn't have hobbies. Nope, they had bombers, super stocks, modifieds, and minis.
Wow.
I mean, that's it. And coupes, you know,
when
they showed up, you know, dwarfs. But, no, there was no hobby stocks out there.
That's funny.
You crazy bastard.
Hey, on that we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Matt Prady Jr. from the LVMS Super Late Model Division here after the break. See you on the other side.
This is Aaron McMorrin, driver of the number 22 Lucas Oil Modified, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen,
the sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart, your used or old vehicle, and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable. It's where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and just talk about local racing. That's what we like to do, talk about ourselves. Of course, with us tonight, Matt Frady Jr., number 40 super late model driver here at LVMS. And if you want to find out more about the LVMS, you can go to lvms.com, click on the bull ring, and see what we got going on at our asphalt track out there. There's a lot of new stuff they added. They got a driver's roster. Points, actually, are listed on there now. So.
Yep, updated
and
points.
And they are updated.
Yes, they are.
So go check it out and make sure they're right. If they're not, I don't know if there's a time frame you got to bitch about it. And you can also go to the BomberNation.com website and look at the front page there. If you don't know where to go from there, click on the message boards and see what's for sale. There's things there you can look for your race car, or you can sell something. That's the place to go. If you want to find out what the latest is, somebody's probably posting something on there. If you want to post something, then join up and just... see what's happening. TheBomberNation.com. And here again with Matt Frady Jr., number 40 driver of the super late model division. And starting this year, you've gotten every race in, Matt. How you doing so far the first couple races?
Still fighting bugs. First race, we actually had a part failure in the right front. The upper control arm mount, the bolts ripped through and flying into the turn one wall. Luckily, the tires were there.
Wow.
And then I got to send a big shout out to Mike Miller. He was the one that actually came over. I believe it was at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And we actually hustled and got the whole right side body mounted in maybe like an hour and a half.
Wow.
And I mean, nice and straight and looks real good now. So I got to give a shout out to him for that. And then the last race, we made it out, and had a couple issues, a few bugs that came and bit us from the wreck still. I had a vibration in the drive line. Got that fixed, and we were actually going out to check everything and make sure that the vibration was gone after putting the drive line back in, and the left rear trailing arm mount decided to come off. And luckily, we weren't doing any going too fast. I was just going on the track when it happened, and it just ripped right off.
Huh.
So we got it back into the pits and missed qualifying and hustled and got a new one welded on and made it out for the, I think we finished maybe like 5 minutes before the main started. So
able to make it out there.
Yeah. Still had some issues. My jacking bolts ended up freezing in the nut right there, and I couldn't make any kind of adjustments at all with my left rear, and was fighting a real tight car all night long. So now we've got that. We actually finished up putting a new one on today. So hopefully now we'll be able to make all the adjustments we need and get her going.
Well, you guys have a race coming up, not this weekend, but the following.
The 14th.
On the 14th. Is that a twin race for you guys coming up or no?
Yes.
It is?
Okay.
So you got
35. Yes.
So you got about 70 laps coming at you. So yeah, the car stays together, right?
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you, that's tough. We went back to back in the Bombers.
100 laps, 2 weekends.
I was worried that not just our car, but all the cars would stay together in the Bombers, man. 50 laps a night, two weekends in a row. My God.
That's a workout, doing 70 laps and first time in 9 years or 8 years.
It was
hurting.
Well, and then for us, like with my son's driving the Bomber, but first time we're back in a long time, and that's a lot of work. I almost like the stands better right now. Jeez. You might see me in the spectator stand next race.
Welcome back, Mike. Welcome back.
And Pat Petrie's been pushing me. He's like, you got to bring the modified out. So I might try to bring it out on that night, the 14th. So we'll see. I got a lot of work. And, we'll see. I wouldn't count on it. But that's a lot of work, man. Jeez.
A lot of racing.
I wish I would just take it somewhere and say, hey, here, fix this. That's easier. Don't you think?
Okay. Of course it is. But is it going to be fixed
right? And for me, it's just as satisfying. I know Gary likes to wrench on all of those stuff.
Yeah.
But,
most of the time, yes.
Dang. I don't know. Anyways. Hey. You know, and that's part of the satisfaction, I guess, is you guys do all your own setups, all your own wrenching, everything like that.
Yeah, everything done to that car, it's all done in my grandparents' garage. Only time something leaves, I think, is when we sent the motor to Howard down at Vegas Machine to have just the machine work done, and then we put the motor together ourselves, and, I mean, everything's done by us.
Does Howard still do most? I haven't heard Howard's name in a long time, Vegas Machine. Yep. Used to be... You know, his and Resnowicki's were the most dominant out there for years back in those days, especially. But now I guess it's Keller Motors, and I guess Steve's are still out there. And
have you raced anyplace else?
No, not yet.
I mean, besides Pahrump and Bomber
nightmare.
No. No, not yet. We actually have plans of going possibly Tucson. We're looking at Tucson here, maybe in a couple months.
You know what? Let me tell you something. When Havasu opens up, you have to race your late model down there. You want a track that's going to make you feel like you're welcome. I don't know if you've ever been down to Havasu.
Yeah.
You go down there. Take your late model down there. You got to race it down there. I mean, Mark Allison's been down there. There's a couple guys that go down there once in a while. You want a good track that's going to take care of you.
Tim Richter runs down there in the Superstocks.
Yep. Bill Rizzo down there will take care of you. You'll have a good time. You will go down there. You'll have a good time. I'm sorry, Jay. I just didn't mean
to shut you up. I'm sorry. We run down there. Meyer's run down there. Meyer and Aaron McMorrin ran down in Tucson. You know, a lot of guys head down to
I mean, I don't know
Havasu
about Tucson,
just
but
because of how welcome they feel. I mean, fun racing, yes.
I mean,
flat track, completely different from the bull ring.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, my suggestion is because if you haven't done it and you want to experience it the right way, go to Havasu.
Yeah.
You know?
Havasu's been thrown out there. We've also thought a little bit about Orange Show, hearing a lot of good things about them.
What about Irwindale? You ever think of heading over there?
He wants the short track, man. Come on. Orlando's cool.
No,
man.
I haven't really thought too much of Irwindale just because, you know, they're unfortunately getting ready to shut down and wish they were staying open because then that would be definitely a place to head out to and experience how, you know, different that track is, you know, how you got three or four grooves out there and go have some fun out there at Irwindale. So.
Oh, yeah, that's like a super speedway for late models and stuff like that. And Gary had an experience at Orange Show. He got to see the Orange Show as a dirt track.
Yes,
not many people have. When
yes,
they shut it down
did.
For a while, they threw dirt on top, and you actually saw
about a foot thick of dirt.
Is that funny?
Yeah.
That's crazy. You say like
and now
water
it's all
dirt.
Scraped back off for a pavement track. Speaking of Orange Show, they'll be doing a figure eight this weekend. They got a full field of cars, but
well, the figure eight guys down there are always putting on a good show. As a matter
yes.
of fact, I think the guys that reopen it, that are promoting it, are a figure eight
group. Oh,
correct. So
I didn't know
they're,
that.
Yeah, they're the ones that actually opened it up and kept it open, and it's good to see them year after year come back.
Yep.
You know? Love the Orange Show, and it's got such history down there, man, and fun track. We've had our good and bad streets down there, but it's a fun track.
I rode the Cadillac out there
no
in 2001.
What?
In a demolition
no
derby.
Oh, that's
I
right.
It. Yeah.
When you say rolled it, you don't mean roll it out there. You mean actually you rolled it.
Yeah.
So most people say, hey, I rolled it. Yeah, I rolled a modified out there. You know,
no.
That's your race. But you actually rolled the Cadillac.
Put it on its lid, yes.
Roofer.
Yeah. Roofer, yeah.
Roofer. How'd you do that?
Got hit.
What
right over on the wheel.
Bus?
Actually, a station wagon hit me.
And then you went to station wagons after that.
Yeah.
If you could roll a Cadillac with a station wagon,
right.
That's the safest thing to be in.
And just so you know, there ain't nothing better to wreck than a GM car.
So. No better car to roll than a GM.
That's right.
Right.
And the funny thing is they left it laying upside down till the race got done, you know, until the demolition.
Wait, were you in it?
No. And then the tow truck came over and put it back on its wheels, and Tim jumped in it and drove it off the track.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Dang.
Smoking a little bit, but he still drove it off the track.
A little oil in there.
Yeah.
The head, the top end. Wow. That's funny.
You ever run a demo derby, Matt?
Nope.
Ever want to?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Didn't you say you were in super late models?
Yeah, I try to get away from all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like in one piece.
Those look like demolition derbies once in a while. You know, the division out there, the super late model division, starting to grow. It's nice to see that. They, you know, for 2 or 3 years there, they looked pretty
slim. Yeah, it was pretty slim looking from the grandstands. Actually, we had a... I think it was 15 cars the last race, so that was pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's best
a great
in a long
count.
Time.
Yeah.
That's
a great count.
You know, and you're up against some really good competition out there. So.
Yeah, it's first year back and long break, and Justin Johnson's back in there, and first you had Noah back out, and everybody's stepping up.
Yeah, starting to come
economy
back
took a big hit on racing, man. A lot of guys dropped out, and we saw the super stocks are starting to come back.
Well, that's
again,
where you've seen, like, the bombers
you know,
start to pick up, the divisions
yeah,
that were lower
you
cost.
Know, the bombers are rolling 22, 23 cars. The super stocks are getting with good to see Chad Mattis back out again, running with Gafferini. You know, Matt here back in the super lates. The economy took a, for four or 5 years, beat the hell out of racing.
Well, that was about
tracks.
The time that Matt, you actually got out of it, was right around that time, too.
Yeah.
Was it 08-ish, maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in that time. It was a little bit of that. And then at the time, we just really didn't agree with the whole late model, super late model being combined together because
yeah,
there was always there was maybe one or two of the always top-running late model guys that would maybe mix in with the middle of the super lates. But it was always, you could tell the difference between super lates were always up front and then late models were most towards the back, so it was kind of didn't really agree with that, and I wasn't going to be out there getting my car tore up almost every race.
Right. Now, that's not a fair thing, but, you know, it sucks because you kind of understand why, because they still want to race two divisions, but you can't have, you know,
five or six cars in one and six or seven in the other,
you know, but what's the
That was Stafford.
That,
Stafford
you know?
Had combined them.
Yeah.
He was there.
Hey, I got my beef with Mike Stafford myself, and
yep.
but we won't get into that. Be a whole hour show if
why
we did.
Why point who don't?
Exactly. But, that's understandable, during that time, and, why go out there and tear your stuff up, if you're not being competitive or you're not, you're always having to fix stuff on your car because it's getting beat up, what's the point?
Do you see it? Let me ask you this, Matt. I mean, besides, of course, there's rule changes, and JC Motorsports came back to the bullring after 7 years, getting our ass handed to us. I said we're 7 years behind the cheating times. You stepped out for 8 years. Do you see a tremendous change at the bullring from when you left it, as opposed to rules, points, tech, just the overall picture of it? Do you see a major improvement? Because Gary and I have.
Or a difference.
We've seen a major difference after 7 years.
Yeah, I've seen there's been a big change. Faces have changed, obviously. But, it has changed for the better. It's always a welcoming thing to go back there. And, how they say, you got your family at home and then you got your family out the racetrack.
Right.
And, races, the faces haven't really changed. Some came and some have gone, and it's just really good to be back out there and seeing a lot of the old faces that were there beforehand that are still there, like Scott Gaffarini and
Dennis Rock
and Fred Kaiser was always a big help. I remember racing against him back in the day. Trickles, I've seen him racing from Bandos coming up, and a lot of the crew guys too, like I said again, Mike Miller and Justin's helped me a couple times, and there's just so many people out there. It's
right.
Good to see old faces again.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably welcoming faces. And like you said, Chris Trickle, coming up. And also like Kaylee, you're racing.
Kaylee
Barker.
Growing from racing the Bandos to the Chargers.
Does that come into play? Let's say you're behind her, she's holding you up or something. Does that come into play? Like if you have to give her a little nudge to say, hey, get out of my way, or vice versa?
my biggest thing, the way that I've always looked at doing the racing deal, because I'm the one myself doing a lot of the wrenching with my grandfather,
right.
I try to race people as clean as possible and make as many passes as I can as clean as possible. If somebody wants to race dirty, then it can come back that way to them.
Right.
But I won't go that far until it happens to me. If somebody's getting completely out of line, then I might just give them a little nudge, like, hey, I'm here.
Right.
But I'm not going to completely just take somebody out just for the heck of it.
So what
I
do you think
like
about
racing like that?
What do you think about the group of racers out there, the 15 cars that are out there now? What do you think of? There's always a bad apple in there somewhere.
Why you look at me?
Well, you hope it's not you or JJ or Doug.
They're
pretty clean.
Yeah,
bunch.
This
out there.
Last race was all pretty clean. I mean, there was one incident, I guess, where Noah and Stan got into it. I didn't really get to see that too much. But it did. It from one end that I've seen on video, it kind of looked like a racing deal. But then you can also see it from another guy's standpoint where
sure.
He either drove it in and it was, it can go up either way. I didn't really get too good a look at it. So.
Right. No, it's tough to call. Like, it's easy to call it from the stands, but when you're in the car or from different angles, things that, happen differently than sometimes what we perceive on
what,
you know.
What you see from the stands could be completely opposite what you see and do in the driver's seat.
Right.
It's two different perspectives.
Well, and one of the things that are differences, too, in, let's say, a super late model division than, like, a bomber or a super stock is... they have radio communication. You have spotters up there too, kind of duking it out themselves in the spotter stands. A lot happens up there.
Yeah, that was. I remember when Noah and Stan got into it, and Noah got put behind us. I knew I had a slower car due to the jacking bolt freezing on me and making my car really tight in center. I actually had my spotter actually go over and find Noah's and tell him, just go in front of me. I'm not even going to slow you up right now.
Right.
Just, that way I'd make it easier and no bumping and, dealing with all that kind of stuff. So,
Now that brings up, you know, a whole different side of racing that you know, some of us don't get to see is that side of it, you know, and that's a good point where your spotters, you get a good spotter, they're going to go up and you know, let you know, hey, here's what we're going to do or something like that and get with the other teams and, you know, so on. So where are they spotting at now? Are they spotting up in the booth or are they spotting up on the pit stands?
There's some that go in the pit stands and some that actually go up in the grandstands.
Okay.
I
don't like the grandstand side because for us, when we do spotting and pitting, we're a limited crew, so we're doing a little bit of everything. We can't run from the grandstands all the way over if let's say, you get a flat or something like that. So pit side's fine with me.
Yeah, that's actually where mine are now. So
right. Any different things you plan on doing in the future with your car? I mean, updates and things like that, or what is? I mean, you think about going to bump stops or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, we've actually thrown it around, doing coilover up front and trying to mess with that a little bit. Then again, we're stuck, you know, with conventional big springs.
Right. Well, speaking of that, let's rewind a little bit. Have the rules changed much since you got out of it in the last seven, eight years or whatever it was? So it seems like they haven't really changed a lot.
I mean, I wasn't really 100% sure or 100% on how and what super late rules were back in the day because we never really ran the super late division.
Right, you were the late model. That's true.
But for the most part, from what I've heard from previous like super late racers, haven't changed too much. I mean, there are a few things out there, but for what I can remember off the top of my head, not for the most part.
Do you? I mean, they have a tire rule. Obviously, you can only purchase so many tires.
Yeah, I've heard it's
so
like two tires a weekend.
Yeah, which to me is good.
Let me ask, what do you think of the new point system that they got going on?
Oh, good question.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
I haven't really paid too much attention to that right now. Still trying to get everything worked out of the car, so I've been trying to
finish races.
Yeah, more worried about finishing races and getting that going.
Once
I get it done,
new car,
everything else, then I'll start worrying about the point system. Now to figure that out.
Right now, it's just a bunch of numbers. Okay, that's fine.
Yep. And I know we can drop the worst finish, so that's a good thing for the first race.
Get one drop. That's true. Now, you know, I don't know about that point system. I got mixed emotions about it myself, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out in the end.
They did it for me. I just looked on LVMS boring points, and it shows it for me.
Yeah, well, exactly. So but you got to watch that. I remember way back when it was normal points. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but we used to watch, you know, our points real carefully because it would come down to where, you know, where you're within one or two points. And if they made one mistake, that, you know, first of all, it could cost you money. Which isn't very much.
Yeah.
But second of all, you know, that could cost you a position, you know, and that leads to the championship points at the end of the season, you know, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
What are you guys doing over there?
Big difference.
What the hell? Trying to do a show here. Hey,
we got a fly in the studio that won't go away.
Damn bugs. Where's the bug spray? Yeah, you know, sponsors, of course, keep us rolling. You want to talk about your sponsors, even if it's family or anybody else like that?
Yeah, the sponsors really don't really have too many of them. Just my grandparents, like I said, they've been a big help with me. Actually, you know, parts that we have to take places, Pickart and Sons Radiator, they actually just fixed my radiator for me.
Cool.
It was literally like 2 days.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting that quick. But that's really about it. I don't really have any sponsors. We just try to, you know, if we have to, try to straighten the stuff out as best as possible and really just try to bring it back in one piece.
Right. You know what? And that's something if you do want to sponsor, you know somebody that's looking for a car to sponsor this, you know, I consider you an underdog because you're doing all your own work, all your own stuff. You know, this is somebody you can come up, you know, and help out. You know, what's the best way somebody can get a hold of you if they wanted to?
They can either text, call, or go on Facebook. I'm all over Facebook. I actually have a page for the racing team on there.
F&L Racing?
Yep, F&L Motorsports.
FNL Motorsports.
Okay, so look it up on Facebook. Look for FNL Motorsports.
Yeah, it's
Matt.
Can't remember off the top of my head. It's either FNL or FL Motorsports.
Okay.
FNL.
FNL.
No, they actually wouldn't take that one. I think it is actually just FL Motorsports.
Well, either way, if you can't find it, you know, post something on the BomberNation.com website at the message boards, and you can find him there. Shoot Gary on his Facebook. I don't think he's never, ever not on Facebook. So you could shoot a shout-out to Matt Frady Jr. on through Gary if you have to. But, you know, the underdog, you know, those are the guys that need the help the most. They're wrenching. They're spending a lot of extra time. And you guys know that. You guys do it yourself.
Yes.
Here with Gary and JJ, you know.
Hey, Matt, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Besides JJ and myself, do you got a favorite driver out there?
I knew that was coming.
Besides these guys. Huh? See, you took the
besides
guys out of
the
equation.
I think what I might do, just the rustle of feathers in here, might just be Aaron McMahon.
Hey, he's my favorite, too.
Good old Aaron.
Honestly, I don't know if I really do have a favorite driver. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching Doug Hamm when he was out there. Really,
oh, yeah,
he's always been real smooth.
Yeah.
He
sorry, Aaron, I tried, pal.
He actually taught me a lot on how to be smooth with the throttle. You know, a lot of the driving techniques, he did a big part of it doing
wow.
that, especially when he came over and put that setup in the car. He had a big part of doing that. So probably be close. You know, with Doug Hamm.
Cool. Doug Hamm, the hound dog, right?
He's been around for many
years.
He's
just the world-famous Stane Alderman, so, hey,
yeah.
We all have our favorites.
He's not running no more.
Tom Hamm, Fabian Bray. Guy's been around a while.
Yeah, all the old names.
Yeah.
No doubt. Of course, JC Motorsports and TheBomberNation.com. Have their own sponsors there.
I want to thank Nevada Pick Apart, Camp Out, Reliable Banner, Pickup Radiator, D&N Equipment, and, of course, Best Muffler. And also Roadrunner Engine Parts.
Call them in advance because it takes a little while to get back to you sometimes.
And if you want some photography of your race car, I really got to thank Rob Street for the photos that he's done of our cars. It's Duo Street Publishing, Rob Street Racing. He's a staff photographer. You can contact him at 702-862-6042. He does some really, really good work.
Really good work.
With that, camera is 702-862-6042. Got a couple of pictures of my car in the pits, and then he got a picture of me out on the track and said he had to slow the shutter speed down.
Where'd the car go?
Just
a black blur. You can't see it.
Yeah.
That's Rob Street, man. Anybody out there looking to get photos, look it up. Duo Street Publishing. Rob Street, man.
Yeah, and he puts heart into it. He don't just go out there and snap a bunch of pictures. He puts time and everything to it.
He catches you off guard. I mean, his pictures are original. He'll catch you. You won't even know him taking pictures of you. Okay, he doesn't like posed.
Right.
He likes those natural photos, and he really has a bunch of them. Check him out on Facebook.
Yeah. Hey, Matt Frady Jr., number 40. Super late model driver. You want to check him out on the 14th. Root him on. Come out to LVMS and check him out. Any last words you want to say here?
Shout out. Appreciate you guys having me on here. I actually did find out what the website was for Facebook.
Okay.
Justin over there looking at me all funny. It's actually flmotorsports40.com. That'll bring you right to the page. But again, thank you guys for having me on here.
You know, appreciate you being here. Free out there and for you but he makes up another deep type. No, that's super safe hard short temp. Check it out, LVMS.com. Otherwise, you're next week.
Thank you again, Matt, for being here. And keep seeing now.com. Thanks.